Glory to God forever and ever. Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, thank you for saving us, for dying for us, for bleeding for us. Jesus, we give you this time, I believe, with those listening, for their needs, and that you will reveal your glory. Also, I want to pray for, worship leaders around the world, and from the famous ones all the way to worship leaders at church. Anoint them. Bless their ministries. Send out laborers, Lord, into the harvest. We pray for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Man was born to fellowship with God. That truth is an eternal revelation. He's the most wonderful, most beautiful person in the universe. Do you realize that when someone meets Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, everything for them in our most holy faith is an eternal revelation. Everything. I mean, the whole, and the very, one of the real, you might call it the essence, that's why I say this phrase, every person was born to fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ. That's what humans were born to do. I actually give the credit to this phrase to a woman of God who was teaching about intercession. And she said this very definitively, and I believe she is correct. Humans, as I mentioned yesterday, we miss it, don't we? Every person falls short of the glory of God. Here's an example of how we miss it. If you ask humans and did a poll of every person in the world, what were we born to do? It might be a very small percentage of people who say, we were born to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Very small percentage. You know, so we can forget all of the other things that people think is the answer. It's just like I saw something on social media that said, if the Bible says it, you know, your opinion doesn't matter. No, I don't want to be harsh, but this truth, someone may say, well, why are you repeating this? Why are you, we've created some websites recently, and one of the themes is about fellowship with Jesus and how this truth about what humans were born to do, because it's an eternal revelation. This is something that, I mean, we could mention this every day in every message for a million years, and we would just be beginning to understand the riches of the glory of the mystery of our most holy faith, of the only true God who's given Jesus Christ to the world and given the Holy Spirit to the world. You just, okay, so now, next point, take away from yesterday's message, and I'll try to sum this up in as short a time as possible, but remember, everything in our most holy faith is beyond words and cannot be summed up. But I'll try to give a natural example, an analogy. You might call it like a parable. What God offers to every person, he offers himself. And Jesus actually said, I will give you living water. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God. Amen. It would be in the natural, if we use the waters of the earth, all the oceans, all the waters, as a natural analogy of that living water, of God himself, his presence, his glory, his riches, everything about him. It's like if God would be the equivalent, all the waters of the earth What he's offered would be the equivalent of all the waters of the earth multiplied times infinity, times infinity, times infinity. Okay, you think of the vastness. And a person who lives on the earth for a million years partakes of God to the best of their ability, you know, for those a million years, they would have drank the equivalent of one small cup of water compared to all of that water. Okay. Why do I say that? Because someone, God, first he offers himself. He is infinite, eternal, unsearchable. Remember, when I say he, it's the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. They are one, infinite and eternal. And he offers himself for eternity. Jesus mentioned that at least five times. It might be six times in the Gospel of John, that someone will live forever. Now, third point, and this is the negative side. Do you realize what it means if someone says no to Jesus Christ? What they have said no to? And there's serious consequences. Very serious. Keep this very positive, though. Fourth point, a takeaway from yesterday's message. Jesus cries and weeps for the world and the lost. We have numerous examples of that in modern day revelations of Jesus visiting people, and I'll give those shortly, the references. This reveals God's love for the world, his love, his mercy, his compassion. Jesus Christ is the image. He is the Lord God Almighty. He's the exact representation of God's nature. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the revelation of God. So everything about Jesus reveals the Father God Almighty. So Jesus, in these specific modern day visitations, it's three people: Jesse Duplantis, Robert Leard, and Mary Baxter. You can look up their books online. With Leard and Mary Baxter, Jesus wept at certain things. With Robert Leard, Jesus was weeping because of our unbelief. That's in the book called I Saw Heaven, We Saw Heaven. Okay, I just want to touch on this. We see a pattern here. We see this glorious revelation of God's love and mercy and compassion. Mary Baxter, Jesus took her to hell, a divine revelation of hell, okay? When he spoke to 19 specific people who were in hell, and Jesus numerous times wept as he walked away. He wept, okay? And then Jesus told Jesse Duplantis that scripture in Revelation, God will wipe away all their tears. Famous scripture. God will wipe all tears from their eyes. Jesus said that includes my eyes, because I will have to turn away the creation that I love. This is, okay, I want to just add this. In the book Angels on Assignment, one of the angels told the pastor in Idaho, you can look that book up too, it may be out of print, told him, you cannot comprehend the depth of God's love because it's too great. So here's the summary of this and why I mention this, and I want to continue to proclaim it. Jesus Christ, the world knows how wonderful he is in every way, okay? In every way. And here's a incredible examples. The examples I just gave reveals his love, his mercy, his compassion, his deep desire that people get saved, his deep desire that we as believers have faith and just take him at his word. Amen. And Jesus reveals the exact representation of God's nature, of the Father God Almighty. So the Father God has the same, even greater love, mercy, compassion. Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I. My Father is greater than all." And so another way that we miss it is that we have different views of Jesus Christ and the Father God Almighty. Now, yes, they are different. That's another, I've mentioned this before, but that's another eternal revelation. That is so glorious. The Trinity and everything about the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is one. He is God, yet he is also different. Why? Because God loves the world and wants every person to know Jesus Christ. That's why. If someone may wonder, why is that so important? It reveals God's love. It reveals his everything, his nature, his everything he does is perfect and glorious and wonderful. And how do we receive this? Experiencing his presence and glory, Jesus in his glory. That this is so wonderful. But the essence of what I'm wanting to say is the Holy Spirit can reveal to us that Jesus Christ is one with the Father, and everything that he does, well, this is it's beyond words. Everything that he does is what the Father is doing. Every desire, that love and compassion that Jesus has, that's what the Father God has. Jesus is literally, well, let's just repeat those wonderful scriptures that he's the revelation of God. He's the image of the invisible God. Let's look at some of Jesus' words. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. Okay, so how does this today, here's another eternal revelation that I want to just present. This is why we as believers can receive all that we can receive and do all that we have the potential of doing. This is why, I mean, everything that we are able to do in our most holy faith, which is, as I mentioned before, unlimited potential, it's all because, of course, it's because Jesus became what we are, lived like us, died for us, all about his life, okay? There's so much, he lived as a man, but in those 3 years, received the Holy Spirit. It's a glorious mystery of the kingdom that we can receive the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. This is just so a holy, sacred thing. And we can have the victory. We can be, Jesus has set us free. We are now more than conquerors. That's a famous scripture, okay? So when I say all the things that we can do and are able to do in our personal life and in ministry, all because Jesus became what we are so we could become what he is and live forever. Also, well, live forever in glory. That's it. So glorious. You know, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. He shall do even greater things than these," which is proclaim salvation, simply because Jesus could not proclaim salvation yet because he had not died and risen from the dead. But it's like this glorious divine transfer, you might say. You know, so that's why, you know, we as believers, this is just something I felt like I should say, you know, sometimes we judge other believers, right? Well, really, we should not judge, but we should lift them up, you know. Let's get to the heart of it. Jesus actually said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into the harvest. It's interesting, a man of God I heard say one time, God did not say to pray for the lost. I mean, Jesus did not say, pray for the lost. He said, send out laborers into the harvest. And with a laborer with the anointing, people will get saved. Amen. And so, but I think that in terms of, when I say lift people up, pray for other believers, you know, not judge, really it's part of this is that Jesus revealed the law of reciprocity, that what we do comes back to us. So we're, you know, there's power, incredible power in the law of reciprocity. If we, what we do comes back to us. So it would be better for us, pray for other believers. So right now, let's pray. Lord, we pray for ministries around the world. As I mentioned, worship leaders that are touching people. I know that's a fast prayer, but we pray for the ministries like Christ for All Nations that are preaching the gospel. We pray for those ministries in Israel. Ministries like One for Israel, Tree of Life, Jews for Jesus, other ministries like that. Lord, bless them. And give them the anointing. Send them out. Bring in more people to their ministries and send them out into the harvest field. Amen. Amen. So, I know I'm touching on numerous subjects in this message. Here's something positive I want to say. When we meet the Holy Spirit, everything in our most holy faith is super positive and awesome, and we realize God's goodness. His, as I've been mentioning, His love, His mercy, compassion, His goodness. And we see this even in the Old Testament, people we doubt, right? Because we think, well, there's another way that we miss it. We think that the God of the New Testament is different from today. But here in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12, it says, "They shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord." He's abounding in goodness. He's the Lord God, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in goodness, abounding in truth. You know, we live in a world that's often very negative, isn't it? People are negative. The news is negative. Every people, you know, it's let's block out all that and let's focus on the Lord God Almighty and how wonderful and awesome He is. How do we know that He's like that? Because Jesus Christ, that revelation is just so awesome. It is so awesome. If you did a poll of people in the world and asked them their opinion of God and of Jesus Christ, two separate questions, their views, most people would have completely different views and opinions of the only true God and Jesus Christ, and yet they are one. Amen. You know, why do I keep mentioning this? Well, the Holy Spirit also reveals. Here's an example. if you ask people, did a poll of people in the world, and ask them, well, what is it like to know God and to know God and be His and serve Him? Okay, it's a tragedy, but people would have there's misconceptions about that, right? I've mentioned this before, but total misconceptions. I mean, people think that it's this. They think it's religion. They think it's boring and awful and dull and laborious and just, and that God is this. And let me say, I say this in reverence. You know, we should fear Him. We should honor Him. We should. Reinhard Bonnke touched about this as well. He said, "I'm glad Jesus didn't come up as a policeman, coming up behind us saying, 'I got you.' He's the good shepherd." But this misconception about God and what it's like to know Him and what it's like to serve Him, total, most of the world's not saved, so they definitely have missed it, right? I mean, I don't want to judge them because we've all missed it, but they've missed it completely. And again, it's just terrible. It's rampant. One time a friend of mine showed me a movie, and the whole point of the movie was just making Christianity just look awful. It was like, I don't even want to repeat what, but you understand that the big picture is total misconceptions, and yet Jesus Christ has, the Holy Spirit reveals to someone, He offers an eternal celebration. The greatest celebration, His presence and glory and majesty and beauty, and the Lord celebrating Him forever. Glory to God. And everything within that, beyond words, so wonderful, so awesome. Everything about Jesus Christ, so wonderful. Everything about our great and awesome God, so wonderful. He gives every good and perfect gift to every person. The best way that I've been able to summarize it is Jesus Christ, the only true God, and the only true God, offer everything that a person was created for, okay, and everything they could ever want, need, long for, hope for, dream of. Everything. Like, what a tragedy. Most of the world does not understand that, doesn't understand the glory of God at all, and has a total misconception. How tragic this is. We as believers. You know, Reinhard Bonnke said it so strongly, you must come out of dead religion. Most of the church, you look at the Catholic and Christian and Protestant church, dead religion. I see this in people that I know. People that I know, you know, we should look at the big picture, and it is true, 80 to 90% are in complete dead religion. But it even affects us. We go to a church, and there's religious, and people are acting spiritual. You know, but praise God that they're saved. I know I want to, but let's. This is another extreme, and I know these extreme. You realize how the extreme disparity, that word is a little, I looked up disparity, it's a great difference. The extreme difference, the just diametrically opposed views that people have. And the reality is, Jesus the Christ, so wonderful, so glorious, merciful, compassionate, God Almighty, same thing. All someone has to do is drink one drop of the water that He offers, which would be the equivalent of all the oceans of the earth, multiplied times infinity. That's what He offers. That's a faint, very all they have, that's a faint example, it's all they have to do is drink one drop of water and just sincerely walk with him, and they will live forever in glory. That's how merciful he is. You know, I'll try to finish with this analogy. I've given this analogy before, that the anointing, the presence of Jesus, worth more than all the wealth, everything in the world, all the wealth, multiplied times infinity, that's actually incorrect. But in him is everything, and outside of him is nothing. I understand we need money to survive, and money is a great tool, okay? But outside of Jesus, there is nothing, and nothing has any value. It's less than nothing. It's all the wealth of the earth outside of Jesus is nothing. More than that, it's if a human being says no to Jesus Christ, they are spiritually dead and will spend eternity in hell. That's how serious it is. And to think that people make light of this, there's another disparity, a tragedy. As I mentioned, I do watch a few shows and comedians, and three of the most prominent comedians in the world use the Lord's name, God's name, in vain, and specifically Jesus Christ's name in vain repeatedly. It's like, and yet Jesus is so merciful, he says, if anyone speaks against the Son of Man, he will be forgiven. Like, it's a guarantee that he will forgive them. Like, that's how merciful our great God is. You know, that's a great example. But why do I say this? We humans are foolish, and very foolish. And let me go back to what I said just a few minutes ago. Outside of Jesus, there is nothing. Without Jesus, someone is spiritually dead. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So outside of Jesus and without Jesus, someone accomplishes nothing. Nothing. Their whole life, we're all guilty of this. I'm not judging. I'm just stating, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Someone can gain the whole world, accomplish so much, and if they don't have Jesus, they have accomplished nothing. But, okay, thank you for listening. Please do visit our websites. We did a count. It's about 17, 18 websites that we've created in the last month. It's really the last 2 weeks, or 2.5, 3 weeks. And people from more than 50 nations have visited these sites. That's our latest count. And so please pray for the people visiting these sites. We've published more than 45 Christian books, but we're now, the goal is to get all of those books onto websites and basically and have additional websites. But that list of things, that the wonderful things Jesus does, well, we're considering adding Jesus weeps for the world. He does. You know, we have proof of that. We have it in the Bible that Jesus wept over one of his close friends. We need your prayers, your support, your financial support. Email us at hello@wonderreality.org. Thank you for listening, and please, you know, please tell people about the sites and our main site, wonderreality.org, is getting a lot of traffic from around the world. And blessings to you.